In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Saints. I don't know about you, but I sometimes find saints just a little bit intimidating. They're just, you know, so saintly. We might like the theoretical idea of saints. I mean, they're good people and all that. But they seem otherworldly. They seem to have very little to do with us. And often they do things that make little sense to us. And I often wonder what it would be like to live with a saint. Think about some of the famous saints. Imagine living with St. Francis, who wouldn't even let you use an ant trap in case it would hurt the poor little creature. What would it have been like to live with St. Benedict, famous founder of a monastic order, deviser of the rule of St. Benedict? He wanted everybody to pray several times a day, starting at like 3 in the morning. Can you think how hard it would be to put up with someone who was pretty much sure that he knew it all and would get quite testy when confronted with a different opinion, like St. Paul? Saints do sound like they're very different from us. And I also think that as we think of them, if we're not intimidated, then we tend to visualize them as these warm, fuzzy people who do good works. In point of fact, I suspect that many of them were pretty difficult people, which gives me hope that I might someday be considered a saint, or at least that I could pawn off a cranky moment as actually piety. What is it that makes someone a saint? If you look it up in the dictionary, you read that a saint is someone who has an exceptional degree of sanctity, of holiness, and virtue. If you were raised in the Roman Catholic tradition, you know that in that church, one has to have been proven responsible for several miracles before one can be named a saint in the church. I guess that rules me out immediately. In the Eastern Orthodox tradition, by contrast, any Christian who has died and is in heaven is considered a saint. In our tradition, in the Anglican tradition, the title of saint refers to a person who has been elevated by general popular opinion as a pious and holy person. The saints are seen as models of holiness to be imitated, and as part of that great cloud of witnesses that strengthen and encourage the believer during his or her spiritual journey. Saints. Some of us even ask them to help us, to pray for them to intercede for us with God, which reminds me of the story of an itinerant preacher a good many years ago who would go from town to town to share the good news riding on a horse. And one Sunday he was galloping on to the next church, rushing to get there on time, and suddenly his horse stumbled and pitched him to the ground, and he landed with a thud and broke his leg. Lying there in the dirt, the pastor called out, "All you saints in heaven, help me get up on my horse." And then with a superhuman effort, he leapt up onto the horse's back and fell off the other side. Once again on the ground, he looked up to heaven. "All right, just half of you now. Be careful what you pray for." We hear these descriptions of saints and these stories of what they did and how they lived, and we wonder what it is that makes saints different from everyone else, from you and me. As I was preparing this sermon this week, a friend posed the question, "Are there any saints from popular culture And my initial reaction was immediately no, because so much of pop culture seems so soulless to me. But the more I thought about it, more names came to me, writers that were particularly powerful, musicians, artists, and one in particular stuck with me. About 15 years ago, I was in a book and record store. You all remember them. And as is often the case, they had music playing, a CD that they were trying to sell. And I was listening to this voice. It was a singer whose voice was just amazing. And as I was standing there, and the CD went from track to track, from song to song, she was singing jazz standards, songs from musicals, gospel tunes, Great American Songbook. The range was remarkable. And it was all exquisite. So I went out to the front of the store and asked the clerk whose CD was playing. And she said, "Oh, that's Eva Cassidy. She's a local artist." There were two different CDs by Eva Cassidy for sale, so I immediately bought both of them and brought them home. And Doug was as enchanted as I was by her voice and her artistry. Several years ago, her cover of Somewhere Over the Rainbow got a lot of airplay, so you may have heard her and not realized who she was, but very, very amazing, gifted artist. And I thought to myself, how have I never heard of this person? She's brilliant, so gifted. So I started to research her and discovered, much to my dismay, that she had died a few years earlier of melanoma at the age of 33. And most of her recordings were posthumous. But as I read more about her, one story really surprised me. Her last live performance was at a fundraiser to help defray her medical costs. She had no insurance. And she was quite ill. And she told the audience she had taken a lot of morphine so she could come and sing. So she couldn't promise anything. But then she got up and she stood there and she sang. The song, "What a Wonderful World." It was just a few weeks before her death. And she had suffered terribly through her illness. As she was deciding what to sing, she could have chosen any number of different songs. Perhaps the blues could talk of her pain and her struggle. Perhaps a song filled with anger at this disease that was cutting her life short so early. But instead, she sang a song of the beauty of the world and how blessed she felt to be present to it. That, to me, is saintliness. That's the thing about saints. They see the world differently. And I think that is the real quality that makes them saints. For them, God is present in all of it. And they see God in unlikely places. Saint Francis saw the exquisite godly purpose even of an ant and cherished it as a gift. Saint Benedict saw the gift of prayer as a special way of being close to God, and the gift of work as being equally important in getting close to God, and lifted it up as a way of life, of continual connection with the divine. Saint Paul saw the redemption of the whole world in Jesus' life, and especially in his own life, previously devoted to attacking Jesus' followers, and he urged others to see how Jesus invites them in the same way. All these saints saw things differently. When they look at the world, these saints, the glass is not half empty, it's not even half full, it's brimming over with God's goodness. whatever the rest of us might see, and they cannot help but respond to that. They bathe the bodies of dying lepers and see the perfection of God in each ravaged face. They stand up to the powerful and protect the powerless because God is visible to them in each powerless person. And because Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And they sing, what a wonderful world, while their bodies are failing. Because their own pain does not outweigh the beauty of God's love in creation and in everyone around them. Saints see things differently than we do. But that does not mean that we cannot cultivate the same kind of vision ourselves. We too can see with our hearts and our souls as well as our eyes. We too can recognize Christ in unlikely people and places. We too can feel the divine in the smell of freshly baked bread or summertime roses, as well as in the rich earthy smell of compost or the tang of the ocean. At communion time, we will sing one of our favorite hymns of saints. I sing a song of the saints of God. It's a British hymn, and some of the words feel a little anachronistic and silly, talking about shepherdesses and fierce wild beasts and tea time. And that's T-E-A, not T-E-E. But the heart of the song is true. Any one of us has the potential to be a saint. All we have to do is look for God. Look for God in people, in places, in everything around us, in our station in life, whatever it is. And we will find a path to a new way of seeing the world and all that is in it. And what a wonderful world it is. Amen.